This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, on this episode of the Paracast, kind of a shop talk episode, we've got Mark Jackson, sometimes known as TDSR, in the forums. And he's joining us again from his secret lair somewhere in Texas, near the border.
Not near the border. Actually, I'm holed up here in Austin, Texas, but there's plenty of weird to go around here in Austin for everything.
Well, there you go. Okay, last week we had an episode featuring a fellow named Yovav Gad, and he started a new website, or something that's been around for a short while, called UFOtoday.com, and I don't know how he got that domain and why nobody else sought to get one. I mean, I've got one called MacRadio.net that I've been after for about a decade now, and I got a hold of that. So, you know, things happen. Now, as I said, Yovav is a neophyte. And I think one of the reasons, the key reason that Randall wanted to have him on is we need a new generation of UFO researchers. This guy appears to be trying. Let's just see what he knows, what he can do. We didn't know until he came on the show that he was a Raelian. I don't know if you can call Raelian a religion or a cult or what.
It's a religion. It's actually, they registered it here in Canada. It's officially recognized as a religion.
Okay, so it was interesting to have him on, but he didn't seem to have anything illuminating about it. Now, we have a thread in our forums at forum.theparacast.com for each and every episode. We also have a separate one for the After the Paracast episodes for those of you who are members of the Paracast Plus. Now, over the last year or two, we have never seen so much reaction to an episode as this one. More people reacted to Yovav's appearance than anyone else. I mean, dozens of messages, mostly negative about him. Maybe we shouldn't have brought him on. But you have to realize that when you bring on a guest, sometimes if the guest hasn't been on before, you're taking a chance on someone. We took a chance on this guy. And Yovav didn't turn out to be what we expected. But sometimes you learn something from that. And I think we did. But it was just so interesting to see the kind of reaction we got and the fact that more people responded to it than the episodes we've had with Nick Redfern, the episodes we've had with Chris Rutkowski and other people. Isn't that interesting? So is it that people enjoy the train wreck? What do you think, Mark?
From my perspective, there were a couple of things that stood out about that dust-up. One was a missed opportunity, and the other one I think was just more coincidental. So let me start with the opportunity. In the forum, there was a particular contributor that wanted to know where the hard science was. And they, and I'm paraphrasing here, and correct me, Randall and Gene, but essentially they felt like the Paracast was getting away from substance and more of a scientific approach to the field. The missed opportunity in that was we had a chance to promote Chris O'Brien, who represents not only years in the Paracast, but also a project that's more robust, aggressive, whatever word you want to use, in recent years taking place currently today. So the missed opportunity, at least for me as a, you know, listener and contributor to the Paracast, was to bring up the San Luis data acquisition project. So there's nothing more scientific occurring today in the field of ufology than what Chris is doing out there. So that was a missed opportunity.
I agree with that, but we've done a lot of episodes with Chris talking about his plans. And when he's ready, we'll be happy to bring him back on and give us a progress report. So it's been covered rather extensively.
Correct. Yeah, actually, I sent Chris an email not long ago and asking how he's doing and how his new show is coming along. And, you know, if you'd like to come back on the show as a guest, and I haven't even got a response back. So, you know, maybe he's just really busy. I hope he's doing okay. But you're absolutely right, though, Mark. That is a fabulous project that he's got on the go. He's been at it for quite a while, but it's serious. You know, so, you know, I don't know if I would call it so much a missed opportunity as an example of another opportunity that we should cover from time to time.
Well, in particular for that forum contributor, they were unaware of that project. And after listening to it, I was, you know, I was just thinking to myself, man, here's Chris probably in the background jumping up and down going, man, you guys are just dropping the ball here. So anyway, that's just a contribution. You know, so that's what I call a missed opportunity, was a chance to promote current, ongoing, robust, scientific driven approaches to data acquisition. And Chris has named that aptly, appropriately, et cetera. I think that the coincidence of the issue was, here we have a person that's checking back in on the ufology community and this, and coming back into this lane after 20 years. And they had anticipation potentially about what the progress has been since they looked in 20 years, et cetera. So that sort of morphed into a conversation about the quality of guests on the Parrotcast. And, you know, and so, and then everything just started rolling from there. But I'd look to you, Randall, for example, to try to have you describe, you know, how the powder keg got lit here.
Well, I think it's just a tendency in general terms for people to be able to criticize much easier than to provide constructive commentary. As I mentioned in the forums, I think it's really cool that the internet exists because it levels the playing field for people who aren't necessarily people who are on the A-list for all the UFO lecture circuit. We can get people like yourself right off the forum. We can get other people who haven't been heard that often, and we can get new guests. They don't all have to be from the top of the pyramid, so to speak. I really like that we can get people who are less well-known and give them a chance to tell people about what they're doing, and then maybe see how they're doing in 5 years. And then we could look back at it and go, hey, remember when we had Yogav on 5 years ago? You know, where is he now? And to me, there's just much more positive ways to be able to comment on things. And I guess maybe that takes a little bit more work, but I believe that there are two sides to that story. And it just so happens that we had not a lot of people who wanted to take a more positive approach to it. And I think that's unfortunate, really, in a way.
Well, there's a lot of expectation management that has to occur both on an individual level when you're talking about all things 14, let alone, you know, extraterrestrial presence, et cetera. But there's also expectation management, I think, in the way that you roll out some of the content. And I think that the long view subscribers to the Parrotcast understand the larger arc, simply because of the archives, Gene, of your program through the years. Thinking about, you know, the forum dust-up and this idea that maybe the Parrotcast is, I think someone in the, you know, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel in ufology, I just think that couldn't be further from the truth. I have a personal philosophy of approaching ufology that I actually pulled from a Tim Beckley interview in 2015. And Tim Beckley has this, and Gene, you guys go way back, and he has this philosophy that's called the treetop level down on looking at UFO phenomena. And I, you know, so going back to that episode, I think that was in May of 2015, you know, and the forum contributors did recognize this eventually. And they said, yes, if you go back, you see the diversity in the Parrotcast, content, interviewers, et cetera. That being said, Randall, you are hitting it on the head, because I myself felt marginalized in this, in the ufology community, simply because I didn't have a platform. And I'm out there doing my own research, my own work, you know, I'm compiling notes, maybe it'll drive into a book someday or something to that effect. But there are so many people out there today that are not only interested in this, but are doing things, and they simply don't have the platform.
We got more to come. Mark Jackson, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in the Parrotcast.
also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 76280. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 76280. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing it, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So what Mark Jackson is telling us here, of course, there are a lot of people laboring, a lot of journeymen, UFO researchers, Fortean researchers, doing their thing, but unless they have that book out or the magazine article in Fortean Times or something, we never know what they do. When they come out with the book, we call them. I mean, we've had people who've written books, like Mark O'Connell, who wrote the book, the biography of J. Allen Hynek. We never heard of him before. That or Robbie Graham. These are people who just happen to have produced something that put them in the public eye. And if you don't do that, you go under the radar. And I mean, there are other people who go on, like Burnt Estate in our forums, Robert Brandstetter. He's been on, what, Greg Bishop's Radio Misterioso show. So he's gone on to become more recognized in the research community, but he started in our forums. And I think Mark has a lot of incredible potential, which is why we brought him back on. And once his website is up and rolling and the things he's doing, he's going to be part of that new generation of researchers that we have to pay attention to. So I think in part, we are star makers here on the Paracast. We've brought people through the years that maybe you never heard of, but suddenly they become something that you should hear about. They can't all be lecturers. They can't all be like Alejandro Rojas, writers and sponsors of UFO conventions, things like that.
Exactly. If we go back to even the early days of the Paracast with Biedny, another fabulous interviewer, and his time on the Paracast is, it's classic. But where is he now? Once he was gone, he did, I think, a gig called Angry Human, which was, it was entertaining to some extent, but we don't hear much from him anymore. And Chris, fabulous. What's he doing now? We know that he's out there doing his work. And I really think he needed to evolve and get the freedom he needed to really pursue things in his own way. But, he's moved on from the show, and we hope to have him back. I seem to recall, Mark, that not everybody had positive comments to say about when we had you on last. And it's just that people can really be kind of, I guess, for lack of a better term, almost cruel here in the field to some extent. You've got to have a pretty thick skin to stick it out and be able to contribute when you get into public forums and into the light, so to say, when people shine a light on you, because when they shine a light on you, they're going to see every little blemish and problem, just like if you were on a great big screen TV, that's just how it is. And they'll pick on it.
Yeah. So let me start with a bit of housekeeping now that you reminded me about our last episode. And Gene, I messaged you about this, but really quickly, I made a very big mistake. Gene, you asked me last episode I was on about when we thought there would be no trace of the modern society on the planet. I said 500 years. That was off by an order of magnitude. I'm not sure why I was nervous and said that. The more appropriate answer is 5,000 years is what I meant to say. So moving forward out of that correction that I've been waiting to make, what I would pose is imagine entering ufology today in the modern internet age. How do you even get your bearing? Okay, so if this person's checking back in after 20 years, they're now going online, they're getting exposed to all of these opinions, and that's it. So what we have now is a saturated internet full of opinions and stories that are not grounded in anything. So the shows like the Paracast, where you can go back, and oh, by the way, it's free, you can really get caught up on what ufology started out as, for example. Now, I'll bring up the conversation with Tim Beckley again. That may interview Gene, but what I would call that episode is an episode about ufology and not about UFOs. That, to me as a listener, gives me the bearing that I need, to potentially navigate all this crap that you see in the internet today. I know when I was first looking into which cases I was interested in, how I would approach validating them, what would be of interest to other people, et cetera. I listened to many, many years worth of the show to try to get that bearing. For me, I've ended up, like I mentioned, the treetop level down. I'm not interested in lights off in the distance in the least bit, which is why, I'm investigating personal encounters and more specifically conflict between potential alien entities and people shooting aliens. And so that's just the entry point that for my intellect is going to give me the biggest return. But having that background where, we're talking about the UFO reporter, the Interplanetary News Service report, Jim Moseley's contribution to all of that. This isn't a time in the heyday of ufology, Gene, where you guys were literally had access to government programs and government people like Major Kehoe, Richard Hall, Roscoe Hillenkoetter. The list goes on. We don't have that today. We are so many degrees removed from where the rubber hits the road in ufology that you kind of start out on your own in the dark, so to speak. And then once you find an angle, you start plowing into it. if you go that far, you're much more than a spectator at that point. You've now fostered a passion. So I applaud the Paracast. I applaud the forum contributors. I wish there would be more of it. In fact, Randall, I remember a number of weeks ago, I said, hey, what's up with the forum? It's pretty quiet. And you just said, hey, people have moved on to the internet, et cetera. And I hope that's not the case, because even though it was a bit of a negative forum exchange here after Yvonne, I think a lot of good came out of it. In fact, I think we had the person that was being most critical ended in a 180 by the end of that. So that's the value of your forum. And Randall, you always do a great job mediating that. But anyway, so there's a little bit of perspective on entering into ufology today.
You know, I want to just bring up one thing about the forum, and I never like to get into this kind of thing, but it really happened. Somebody running another forum that shall not be named came here, and they joined the forum and sent instant messages, or we call it personal conversations, to regular participants, inviting them to leave this forum and join the other forum. And I think that's, you know, a little bit dirty pool. It's like trying to poach. I mean, you can go to any forum you want. We have no hold on anyone. I just thought it wasn't a really nice thing to do. And then they have a certain thread that we won't discuss, which contains what we'd regard as hate material. And that's all I'll say about that. But we can see the point. In terms of messaging, there are so many options to express your point of view that a simple forum is only one of many. You have Facebook Messenger. You have other people who don't even use Facebook Messenger. They use WhatsApp or Apple's messages. And the problem with all these is each one is incompatible with the other. With the forum, of course, anyone who joins the forum can participate. They don't have to have a compatibility issue, because a forum with current software will work on Mac, Windows, iOS, Android, the popular platforms, without any exception. And therefore, anyone can participate. But then you have all these exclusive platforms that have their own participants. And how many forums or areas can people participate in where before it gets crazy? The other thing is, as with any forum, people get tired of the chatter and they leave. And they come back a year later or 5 years later and refresh, because it can be tiresome. We've got more to come. We're not going to be tiresome. Mark Jackson, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. It's day 22 for the partial government shutdown. Federal workers got pay stubs, but they were printed with zeros. Chris Cabrera, a spokesperson for the National Border Patrol Council, says besides lack of pay, this is what really bothers border agents and federal employees that are working without compensation.
The shutdown was announced on the 22nd, and Congress went on vacation until the 27th. And then they're off this weekend while our guys, and there's many 800,000 people across the United States that are either furloughed or working with no pay, while these guys are enjoying vacation and getting paid for it.
Illinois Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger says he's also disgusted with the way politicians are handling the situation.
Pox on both the Republicans and Democratic houses. Everybody hates both of us, but we want them to hate the other side a little bit more.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Randall, I guess you want to say something after that, and we'll go back with Mark. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just listening. I think you guys both make excellent points there. I know I was out of it for a number of years myself, just because I'd gone through pretty much all of the information at one point that was relevant to me. And literally dozens of different books and, years of talking to people. And it just sort of faded into the background until one day at work, I was doing landscaping actually. And one of the guys I was working with, he's a fellow musician. He says, do you believe in UFOs? And I said, doesn't everybody pretty much? And he just kind of laughed because some friend of his had brought it up and he had rather offhandedly dismissed it until he started talking to me about it. And then within a week or two, he did some research on his own. He found out about MUFON and did a little bit more digging and realized, like we all do once we get into the field, that it's a lot deeper and not just trivial than people might tend to think.
Well, I think that the examples for, earlier I was bringing up, Gene, your interaction with the NICAP folks, et cetera, you just don't have that kind of access today. And I think that's a really big point, that people are so far removed from all this. But anyway, I digress somewhat. I just wanted to reiterate that point that, where we start today is so far from actually being able to speak to the Kehoes of the world, et cetera.
Well, also the skirmishes and the posturing and the feuds of the old days. I mean, they still have that kind of stuff going on nowadays.
Yeah, but nowadays it takes all place in, in the forums and, on Twitter and on Facebook. The arena for it's been watered down a lot.
Well, that's true. I mean, in those days, you only learned that there was an argument over NICAP if you read certain publications. You didn't have an internet where anybody could find it. It would be, do you subscribe to Saucer News? Do you subscribe to Flying Saucers magazine by Ray Palmer? That was the sum total of the publicity generated when Richard Hall had his hissy fit. We've heard about politicians who have hissy fits, and we won't get into who they are. But he got mad because he was angry, I think, at Jim Moseley. But he understood, as he got older, that that wasn't the attitude to take. It's time to let bygones be bygones, and he went on. And he did a lot of really credible work. But nobody outside of that circle would know anything, because the NICAP newsletter had nothing about it. So only a few thousand people did. Today, anything you do, if you cough too loudly, it's online. You breathe too loudly, it's online. If you have a problem, it's online and exaggerated. If you do something good, it could be something where you're praised beyond what you might deserve, but then again, you're criticized beyond what you might deserve. A lot of excesses on there.
I mean, like what somebody was saying, you don't have to worry about the NSA or the CIA, you know, spying on you, because they can just go to your Twitter and Facebook and find out everything they need. And if I recall correctly, I believe that Facebook was even funded in part. This is part of the, you know, okay, conspiracy theory of Facebook, in part by the National Security Service or agencies that are in there, including, I think, the NSA.
We sure really helped the NSA. And remember also that a company like Facebook, a company like Google, they grab a lot of information that they don't sell to other people, they share with their partners. So a lot of people know things about you that you wouldn't want them to know, because your participation online makes you a target.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of now that employers are actually looking up people's Facebook pages to see if there's anything on there that might be embarrassing for them before they hire people. It's, I think in a way it's really gotten out of hand, and it's become really easy, like I said at the start of the show, to be a critic as opposed to someone who looks for positive, constructive solutions and ideas that people can put into action. It's like, okay, fine. If you don't like that, come up with something better. Give us some better ideas.
You know, that's the beauty of the pre-internet ufology, was there was this natural filtering process. Maybe that's not the right way to put it, but you had to have a genuine interest in the topic to make your way to the bookstore to finish a book. While you're reading that book, it has footnotes, so your breadcrumbs are getting laid down as you move forward in ufology. You know, today we don't have that pre-filtering phenomena where, you know, only the most serious people will make it to the point where they're selling zines and exchanging zines with other folks, or they're going to conferences and they're starting relationships with people that are actually involved with these government programs, et cetera. There just isn't that pre-filtering today. And again, I keep coming back to the amount of opinion-driven content that's on the internet. It just makes you want to turn. It just makes you want to turn it off. At least it makes me want to turn it off. Again, just another point about the kind of the golden days of ufology and how that. Just the way the system was set up, how it produced such good material. So I guess on one hand, I concede that I could see where people are confused today. A lot of opinion, you know, people know everything about you to be able to pick you apart, you know, et cetera. But how that ties in, Randall, I'll let you continue from there.
Well, you don't just want to turn it off. I mean, I can see how you could say that just from a, you know, sort of an offhanded opinion. But in reality, you're not turning it off. You're actually doing something constructive. You're getting out here, you're making your personal opinions known, and you're even starting your own site, I'm assuming, with the intent to improve the landscape as opposed to just add more litter to it. Maybe tell us a little bit more about how you think you're going to do that or would like to do that. What's your plan?
So it's very interesting. The Yvonne in the forum incident the last couple of weeks has made me really, I'm literally going through the motions of setting up the website for the podcast, you know, the last couple of weeks. And so this has been on my mind. And ironically, that forum exchange has influenced me even further than just the exchange in the forums. I've literally now have a new theme for my podcast. And what I'm going to do is provide a forum for amateurs to come on my show and tell their stories, tell us about their research. So I pivoted originally, and now I believe that the way I'm going to launch this is an amateur forum. I mean, a platform where people can get on and, you know, hopefully tell their stories, what their research is, et cetera. So it's I find that a wonderful coincidence, actually, because I literally have been rethinking about how to launch this podcast. So the name of it is the deepspacepod.com, and there's just some infrastructure there that you can look at today. On that podcast, where I would like to start, just because it's my personal passion about this project or about ufology, is starting with the idea of these, finding the cases where people interact with humans and there's some sort of violence that ensues. And I think another big part of that, Randall, is actually your influence on me recently. And I'll be more specific. On the show, you bring up every so often the Jodie Foster contact movie thought experiment. And that is, this idea that, aliens were so different from us that we wouldn't be able to handle their form. And you say, yes, she could. They were making it more difficult than it needed to be, et cetera. So how do I tie this all together? For me, there's two types of people. There's a type of person that if you have a gun, you see an alien, you'll shoot it first thing you do. On the other habit, there's all the other people then that would be, I'm not so sure if mature, advanced, have enough background information, et cetera, would say, wow, I'm having an encounter here. The last thing in the world I would want to do is, perpetuate violence onto these entities or these beings, et cetera.
Talk about the treatment of a possible alien. And I remember the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original one. Mark, Gene, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Cunning of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Cunning of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockItPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockItPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockItPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
When you were talking, Mark Jackson, you brought to mind the opening scenes of The Day the Earth Stood Still, where the spaceship with Klaatu and the robot Gort aboard lands in this area, this park area, and the military surrounds it, and Klaatu comes out wearing his helmet. I don't know why he was wearing his helmet if he could breathe Earth's atmosphere. That had no logical basis for it, but all right. We'll grant that it's a plot device. And he reaches to get something. And one of the soldiers panics and thinks he's got a gun or something. You know, this is kind of what you see on police procedurals where a police officer will get too excited and think that the alleged perp has a gun. So he fires and wounds Klaatu. And you see how Gord responds. And the thought I had here is that if somebody accidentally fired on E.T., and we've had cases where they've done that. There was a book out there called Shoot 'Em Down that had stories about that. Wouldn't there be the danger that a superior race with superior weaponry would fight back, or would they just tolerate it, knowing, well, the stupid Earthlings have no better capability than to fire at something they do not understand.
Well, and they actually do that, at least according to Ruppelt. He opens his book with an account exactly of that, where Air Force Base in the United States, they pick up a UFO on radar. They send up two jets. They attempt to find it because in those days at that particular base, it didn't have the height finding feature on the radar, so they weren't sure exactly what altitude it was. So they sent interceptors up to two different altitudes. One of the pilots sees a flash down below and goes into a dive. These were F-86s, I believe, back in the day. Those are a transonic jet interceptor, which means that they could get up to around the speed of sound, even break it, but not much more. And he's just approaching the speed of sound in one of these old jet fighters. In a dive, comes up on it on what they call the deck. So we're talking about really close to the ground now, is gaining on it, sees it in the daytime, and it starts to pull away. We're talking about a classic saucer described, I think, by the pilot, sort of like as a donut-shaped craft with some kind of a portion in the middle. Because it's getting away from him, what does he do? He opens fire. Now, that's coming straight out of the U.S. Air Force from the head of the person who was in charge of Project Blue Book. So, okay. I mean, there's some evidence. Yeah, we are hostile towards them.
Well, Randall, I even am zooming in even further. So my focus is literally face-to-face encounters. And there's very rare cases where people are startled, you know, et cetera, and they decide to actually raise a firearm. There's something in that, but more importantly, and I brought this up on their last show. So we'll take the Tap in North Dakota case. This is a young man, as I described, where he went out and just to reiterate quickly for the audience that may not have heard this. So this is in 2006. He goes outside around midnight And there's three, what appears to be aliens, stealing this very loud, large, sour pig from their corral. You know, the lights go on. He shoots one of them. And I mentioned this in the last program. What was very odd about that is that he struck one of them with a shot, a .22 caliber pistol. Okay. The other two bow to him as to say, hey, we don't, you know, you jumped the gun, so to speak. Literally, we're not here to hurt you. We need your pig for whatever reason. We could negotiate this, blah, blah. But he was a young man and he fired at him. No. To follow up on that story, to give you guys a little bit of a progress on my end. So what I've done is I've started searching all the hospital records around that area of North Dakota in the small towns to see if there was any accounts or any records of a .22 caliber gunshot wound in, around that same, maybe let's call it 3-day period. So I'm getting to the bottom of that. Ironically, on that same case, and I'll digress a little bit, but I think the viewers will appreciate a little content here in research. And that is, I found out that the police in that county of North Dakota actually put out an APB on the pig. So what I'm trying to do is track down all of the APB records because that goes into the filing system, et cetera. So I'm in the motions right now to see how far this APB on this pig went out. It's a very bizarre twist to that particular case. Now, in that vein, I also came across another case, November 1961. This was the Paul Miller case. So Paul Miller and three of his buddies are on their way home after hunting, and they find something in the field they consider to be like a glowing silo is the way this is described. So at first, they believe this is an airplane crash, so they approach it. As they're approaching it, they see two humanoids, and of course, being guys with their guns, they get out of the craft, these two humanoids, and this Paul Miller shoots one of them. You know, again, another curious detail that I'm still trying to figure out what this means. The other being bows again to us as saying, I mean you no harm. You shot us before we could even get a message out to you, sort of thing. So it's the behavior or it's the interaction between these entities and these people in this high stress environment where it seems like the extraterrestrials or, you know, supposed extraterrestrials, they were the pacifists and they were the ones that were being harmed. So it's just another very interesting case. And oh, by the way, where did that case take place? Just outside of Minot, North Dakota, as we talked about in the last story. So here we have two cases, 1961 and 2006, where the good folks of rural North Dakota shoot first. You know, going back to the Jody Foster thing, these are people that just simply, you know, respond violently or there's some sort of breakdown in their mind when they come across this chapel perilous moment, just to quote Robert Anson Wilson there for a moment. So anyway. So I'm looking into that case as well. So what do I do next? So I call the Minot Public Library, and there's two gals there that work. You can hire them for about $30 an hour to go through all the microfilm. So currently underway this week, I have a team of librarians in the rural community out there looking for, you know, the potential newspaper, you know, write-ups about this 1961 case. So you don't actually have to be present to do a lot of the research as long as you dig far enough in to know what resources are available to you.
Think about the students getting $30 an hour.
Yes.
Certainly for a student who's struggling possibly to pay their college tuition and dormitory is a godsend, really. Because the best they could do is maybe normally a student will go to a fast food place and get a little over a minimum wage or something or work at a Walmart or something. So you were a very generous employer there.
I encourage folks to do the same. If they have stories they're tracking, those resources are out there. You just have to be familiar with how the system works. But there's a great deal of research that you can do for a minimal amount of money, you know, to help you move forward in your path down ufology, for example. You know, I called the State Museum, which also has a Hall of Records, et cetera. They were less enthusiastic about doing the research. So on the more of a county level in the city newspapers, this team of gals over there was very enthusiastic about the task. And I feel like I'm going to get a great deal of quality research for $30 out of them, $30, $60, whatever it ends up being. So there is a little bit about who's on the other end of the phone call. But in this particular case, I'm working with a pretty good team at the moment.
That's fabulous. What about the reception that you get from the local authorities, or do you contact them directly to look in their archives, like, say, the police station? Do you call them and say, hey, you know, I've got some questions about a case. Can I come down and examine your files, or do they all end up in the city archives somewhere?
Well, for the, so for example, on the hospital records, on the 22 gunshot wounds, somewhere in the summer of 2006, you know, I have a date that I set out there, and I'm trying to be more, bring up less about the Breeze family just out of their confidentiality, but, you know, that's medical records. And so I'm working with a gal at a local, hospital there outside of Bismarck. And then, you know, we also have, the APB out on the pig. So what I did is I called the county and I wanted to know who was the sheriff at the time. He's no longer the sheriff in that particular county, but they're getting a message through to him. So my intent is to follow up with him, get a phone interview to see what road the authorities went down after this particular incident. Now, for me, after speaking to them firsthand and then knowing that there was enough going on that evening where the authorities were so desperate they want to put an APB out on a pig. Okay, this is in an ironic way that's lending a lot of credence to what's happening here in the validity of it. You know, short of any other action, that's the only thing they could think of in the moment. So those are decisions that are being made on the ground between some very serious people. And I think that that's why I'm trying to pursue that to see if anything ever became. Now, if you read the rest of the story, these things have hooked for hands. And it sounds to me like they just had bacon that night. But we'll see. We'll see what the sheriff can come up with.
Well, that sounds really interesting.
We're going to focus more on what Mark Jackson has told us. I mean, this guy has done a lot of research that's not getting the attention it deserves. Mark, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.